So I want to talk to you today. We talked about last week, godly character. And so I kind of went over a few different aspects of character. I asked people what character was and stuff like that. And today I wanted to talk about a very specific trait. And the reason I kind of glossed over a lot of things last week is because I wanted to get into specifics a little later on. And so today I want to talk about, what does godly courage look like? What does courage look like? I mean, it's something that we need, and we talk about it a lot, and we like to romanticize it, and we glorify it, especially in media, right? Like our movies, you know, you don't have the shameful, weak person as the hero, because that doesn't make any sense. We like to pick up people and say, look, that person was courageous, they're amazing. Even if they fail, it was amazing because they were courageous. So courage obviously has a really big role in our culture, right? Courage is a really important thing. In fact, all of us want to find ways to strive to show courage. And in Joshua chapter 1, which I shared last week, chapter 1, verse 6, the angel says, be strong and courageous. You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you, and do not turn to it, and that you may be successful wherever you go. And I want to share with you another story of courage today that I didn't share last week, and it's from Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 39. If you want to flip with me there, I'm going to give you a moment. But before I use this example, I want to ask three questions. Number one, how many of you have ever carried an old woman out of a burning building? Okay. How about saved a drowning girl out of the icy pond? Nope. How about this? How many of you ever risk being shot in order to save a friend? Not by Nerf weapons. Hand goes down. See, the thing is that these are often the big things that we portray as courageous in our world, right? Running into the burning building, putting your own safety at risk so that you can save this woman, or you can save someone from the icy pond, or, you know, being out on the battlefield and dragging your soldier buddy back to your side so that you can get the medical attention, putting your own life at risk the whole time. When we see these ideas of courage, like this kind of changes how we think about courage. So my question then is, when do we have opportunities to be courageous? When do we have these opportunities to show courage if, you know, it's not every day that a building's on fire and an old lady's trapped on the third floor with all of her cats and you can run up there and try and save everything? It doesn't happen. And if it does, you should probably leave it to the firefighters. Just want to put that out there. Don't run into the burning building. There's courageous and there's crazy. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says this, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. So what we see here is what I'm going to call a classic example of courage. We have Jesus going up the Mount of Olives. He knows what's about to happen. The Last Supper's already happened. He's going up. He's just praying. He knows what's coming. He's going to die. And it's not going to be quick, and it's not going to be nice. He knows exactly what's about to happen. And he asks God for mercy. But then the angel comes, and it says the angel came and he strengthened him. Why? Because he knew that he was still going to do it. And that's what it said. Please take this cup with me. But not my will, but yours. God knew, you know, this had to happen. Jesus knew it had to happen. As we read in the story, he stayed in that place, fully knowing what was about to happen. He could have fled and found refuge somewhere else and hid from the persecution that was about to come, but he didn't. And we're going to come back to that idea in a little bit. But the next question I want to ask is this, because this is what Jesus wanted to do. How many of you wanted or still want to change the world? I see some nods. Past tense, absolutely. That's why I put want or wanted. Because sometimes, you know, so sometimes that passion surely dies. I mean, when you're in college, I feel like every single kid in college is like, we're going to change the world. We're going to bring down all this horribleness. And what happens is they grow up, they get a job, they get out the real world, and they go, actually, you know, this works. There's a reason we do things the way we do. But one of the things that's really challenging, especially as we're growing older, especially as we are leaving that time from being a kid and becoming an adult, is there's a real challenge to be ordinary, right? There's a real challenge to just be, you know, the one that goes and does their job, and suddenly you're not changing the world. Suddenly you're not this big influence that you thought you were going to be. Suddenly you're not doing all these amazing things. It's a real challenge to boldly go and say, look, I'm going to take on the challenges of every single day. I want to take on the challenges of, you know, just being persecuted at work for what I believe. I want to take on the challenges of just, you know, celebrating Christmas as the advent of Jesus Christ, right? These are things that are, you know, in opposition with our culture, and yet these are ordinary things. These aren't special things. These aren't extraordinary things. These are just ordinary things. And of course, as you're growing older, sometimes it's facing things like paying rent for the first time. It's funny, whenever you talk to kids, you know, they just get a job and they say, yeah, I'm going to spend my money on this and this. I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to do all these things that I want to do. Then what happens is they get their first rent. They pay that and they think, oh, well, I still got this. And they pay utilities, and then they pay for their food, and then they pay for their gas, and then they pay for their, you know, cell phone. And then they realize, I have nothing left. Oh, that's why mom and dad didn't all do all this stuff all the time. But it's a challenge. It takes courage to say, look, I'm going to walk into that, and I'm going to bravely face this each and every day. Because real life isn't easy. Real life is a challenge every single day. The challenges vary. Some days are easier, some days are harder. But ordinary life still has its challenges every single time. Next thing I think is you need to have courage to be vulnerable. Being vulnerable, it's a challenge to us because we don't want to appear weak. We don't want to appear like there's any soft spots on our armor, right? We all want to kind of be like Smaug the dragon from The Hobbit. We want to appear as if we're completely invulnerable. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can touch us. But at the same time, if we want to allow people to come into relationship with us, if we want people to understand who we are and who Jesus is, we need to have the courage to be vulnerable. There's a very common nightmare. A lot of psychologists have documented that there's this very common nightmare of people being literal nightmare, you're asleep, you're dreaming, and you're naked in front of a crowd. And the reason that it's so common is because it represents that people are afraid of people actually seeing us for who we are. We like to, and we talked about this last week, we like to put on a facade, we like to appear one way, we like to appear like everything is going really well, or we like to appear as if we got it all together. But at the same time, it takes a certain level of courage, a huge amount of courage, to actually let people see, you know what, I'm having a bad day, or I've been having a bad month. You know, I don't have my stuff together. My marriage is in trouble, stuff like this. It's so hard for us to reveal that stuff, because in a world where in a place where our world wants to rip us apart, eat us alive for even thinking anything different, we want to make sure that we don't allow them any sort of vantage point on our lives. So we put up these walls and we don't allow people to see just how vulnerable we really are. So it takes courage to be vulnerable. It takes courage to be moral. I like this. I don't know what to call him. Oh, let's call him a scientist. Friedrich Nietzsche. Has anyone ever heard of him? Friedrich Nietzsche. He was quoted as saying, morality is just a fiction. He's more famous for being the guy who said, God is dead. Of course, if you continue to read that quote, what he was getting at is, God is dead, we've killed God, and there's not enough water to wash away all the blood of what we have done. Basically, he was foretelling what was about to happen with modern society, which is this massive, crazy swing of the pendulum, because we have no stability left in our culture, right? Religion brought that stability. When we had common values, when our country was consistently seeing this Christian value throughout our culture, then, you know, we had that stability. There was no rocking the boat, but now the boat rocks violently from one side to the other. But he brought up this other idea, which is morality is fiction. And this was his theory. He said morality is fiction because what it is that you say, I don't want to do this thing. Like, I don't want to commit murder, for example. I would never murder someone because it's immoral. And his thing was, no, you don't want to commit murder because you're afraid you'd get caught. And really, they've done a lot of studies into that, and they've examined this, and they've looked at this, and, you know, they've questioned people and, you know, done these blind questionnaires because, you know, that's the only way that they can get honest answers out of people. And yeah, in a lot of cases, people would do some completely horrible, heinous things if it was not for morality, which was just their fear of being caught. So my point in saying it takes courage to be moral is that it takes courage to be moral for moral sake. It takes courage to believe that, you know what, I would never murder, even if you were given the opportunity to. And you know what? Most of us will probably never face that obstacle. Right? The people that lived in Auschwitz, Germany, they were normal men and women. They were police officers, teachers, barbers. And then when given this power, when given this authority over other people, they were able to commit the most heinous, awful, cruel acts that have ever been committed on any other people. So what it means is that we need to actually somehow drag up that courage. We need to find that courage to be moral for moral's sake. Because there's that total depravity that can completely take over us. And it's something that, you know, it's not a new idea that we're totally depraved. It's not a new idea. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. Why we celebrate Advent, because we know that he was coming to start something to get rid of this problem that we have. Next thing I want to mention is we need to have the courage to be relational. According to Stats Canada, and I found this actually more comforting. Most people have probably heard the stat. Everyone says, oh, 50% of marriages end in divorce. It's actually not true at all. According to Stats Canada, only 38% of marriages will end in divorce before they make their 30-year mark. And what's important there is ends in divorce, not just ends in death. So most marriages actually do succeed, by the way. 62%. That's much better than what people are trying to say. But there's a great many reasons why divorce happens as well. And we can't rule that out either. But what usually happens, what a lot of these, especially since no-fault divorce came into law, a lot of the reasons that it happens is there's usually a lack of courage somewhere in that relationship. Right? It takes a lot of courage to deal with people all the time. It's one of those things, I'm trying to remember how the quote went, but it's like, basically, the ones that you end up fighting with the most are typically the ones that you're closest with, right? If you think about it, my brother and I, for example, we were a great example. When we lived together and we were close and we were around each other all the time, man, we fought, like, physically fought, like, crazy all the time. We couldn't deal with each other. We were in each other's space too much. And it took that separation before my brother and I were able to deal with each other. Why? Because we didn't have the courage to just deal with our stuff. You know, instead, we just acted out in anger, and we would act out in impulse and irrationality, and we would just go at each other. And it wasn't good. That relationship wasn't good. It wasn't healthy. We're also afraid of what could happen if the people around us, right, especially in relational sense, if the people around us really knew who we were. Would they still be my friend? Would they still want to be my spouse? Would they still want to be my girlfriend slash boyfriend? Would they really like it if they knew who I really was? The courage to be truthful in relationships is hard. It's really, really difficult. So the next thing I want to say is, how do you get it? What is the point in talking about courage unless we actually talk about how you get courage, right? Doesn't make any sense if we don't. But we get it by facing our fears. Jesus talked about this. The Proverbs talk about this. It's not courage, by the way, unless you're afraid. That's why when Jesus was standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what my teacher always said. He's like, you can't pronounce it, just say the first letter. But when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, then it was a great act of courage, not because he knew the outcome and so he was just brave and going forward. No, it was a great act of courage because he was scared to death. If you would have continued reading that, it says that, and being in anguish, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Which, of course, we talked about, I know we talked about it last year, but it's like this very, very rare medical condition where extreme stress can cause blood vessels to burst. Like, extreme stress. Ain't no one here ever had that kind of extreme stress, and yet Jesus still walked forward knowing what he was facing. That is courage. Joshua, standing on the edge of the promised land, looking at one of the most heavily fortified cities that his people has ever seen, and marching forward and following the will of God, that was courage. Moses, getting called by God and going up to Pharaoh, the most powerful man that the known world had ever heard of. He walked up to him and said, "Let my people go." That took courage. Because you believe it, if you read the story, you know he was afraid. Because he looked for every single reason not to go. He was afraid. But he found courage. And all of these people found courage in the same place. They found courage in God. It's a completely foundational part of being a Christian. The most foundational part about being a Christian is stepping up and facing our fears on a daily basis, because guess what? We're going to have opposition. We're going to have people that are going to oppose us. It's going to happen. It's part of who we are. We need to be courageous, and we need to get it by relying on God. Is everyone here familiar with the movie Facing the Giants? Okay, if you're not, I want to explain to you. There's a scene, and I was thinking about this as I was writing. There's a scene where this football player, he's like, he's talking down about his team. You know, we're never going to be able to do it. We can't beat this team. The other team's too good. And he says, okay, well, I want you to do, I think it was called the Dead Man's Crawl. I don't remember what it was called. But he has to basically crawl on his hands and feet. Not on his knees. His knees touches, he's out. Hands and feet with another football player on his back. And he's got to crawl. And not only does he have to crawl, he tells him, you know, I want you to do 20 yards, for example. And he says, not only do you need to crawl, but I'm going to put a blindfold on you. And he says, okay, fine. And so he starts doing it, right? And he's the biggest, one of the biggest, strongest guys on the team. And he's going. And you just see, like, he's grunting and he's struggling and he's having a really hard time. And he's just pushing through, and the coach is just yelling at him the whole time. Keep on going. You know, you only need like 5 more yards. And he keeps yelling at him. And this kid is just persevering. He's going as hard as he can. And eventually he just collapses. And he starts crying, and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too hard. Of course, then what happens is the coach comes along, he removes the blindfold from him, and he says, look, you didn't go 20 yards. You're in the other end zone. That's what courage can do. The problem is that this kid, he didn't have the courage enough to see it through. He thought that he seen this obstacle and he thought it was impossible. What his coach did by doing this is he revealed to him, look, you thought it was impossible, but look what you did. Look what you can do. You just need to believe. We're blind when we're going into the future, aren't we? A lot of us would like to know what's going to happen. We would love to know what's going to happen. I don't, because that would be scary to me, but it would make things easier, right? It would help us make the right decisions if we knew the outcome already. It would help us to do all these things. And a lot of times we freeze up and we stop. We lack the courage to push through, to go forward, to see it happen. But what this scene was trying to explain is we need to just build up that courage. Face up. Stand up. Face adversity. Oh my goodness, why can't I speak today? We need to face our adversity. We need to face those that would oppose us. And we need to push on. We need to, even, like, it's going to be scary. It's going to be terrifying, right? We're going to see obstacles in our path, and we're going to be like, there's no way we can overcome this. Here's the thing. You just need to trust in God, right? Link up with Him, pair up with Him, and push through, push on. And the thing that you thought was impossible suddenly becomes possible. But you only get there if you have courage. See, we need to have courage to be ordinary in a world that praises the special, that loves celebrity, right? Of all kind. We need to be vulnerable and have the courage to be vulnerable in a world that wants to eat you alive for having any sort of weakness. We need to be courageous in a world to be moral for the sake of being moral, not because you're just afraid to do it. You're gonna stand up and say, no, I'm not doing this because this is just wrong. It takes courage to do that. It also takes courage. We need to muster up the courage to be relational with one another and with our spouses, with our friends, because it's through this relation that we're showing the world how God feels about us. Right? If you treat your wife bad and you say you're a Christian, ain't no one gonna want to be a part of your God. If you treat your kids bad and you call yourself a Christian, there's no one's going to want to come and be with your God. But if you're treating people around you with generosity, with respect, if you're loving on your neighbor all around you, if you can muster up the courage to be that person, then you're showing the world what a relationship with Christ is really like. We need to push on. We need to continue to move forward. We need to muster up that courage and link up, team up with God, even when it's difficult, because even when it's difficult, you know, sometimes there's these big towering things in our way. We don't even know where we're going. We know where we want to be headed. We're headed towards Jesus. We don't know what's on the other side of this obstacle. But God, if you're doing it with God and you're partnering up, He's going to say, you know what? I am with you. You don't have to worry what's on the other side. Just come with me. And we just need to be courageous enough to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it because this is the will of God. But in order to do that, we need to build that relationship with God. So that's my thing for today. Is you guys, we need to just take this week, right? This last week of Advent, because we're getting so excited about what's coming up Christmas Day. We need to take this week and we need to really build on that relationship with God. We need to muster up the courage so that way when we go out and we face the adversity as we're in our culture, that, you know, we won't have a problem saying, you know what, this is just what's right and I'm going to do what's right for right's sake. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a trial. But it's okay if you're doing it with God, and it's definitely okay if we work together and we encourage each other, build up on each other. And we use our gifts for each other. So let's all stand this morning. We're going to pray before we dismiss. Oh, is it? Perfect. Well, I will after. All right. Dear God, thank you so much for being with us this morning. God, that you would just help start up that fire of courage in our hearts this morning, Lord God, that we would not be taken by the wayside, Lord, that we would not be caught vulnerable, Lord, that we would be brave, Lord, to face our ordinary lives, God, that we would be brave and allow people to see that we do have vulnerabilities, Lord God, we do have weaknesses, and God, that we want to build with them relationally, God, we want to show them who you are through our interactions with each other, and God, that you would help us to live out that morality for morality's sake, God, so that we can show the world who you are. God, that you would make us courageous today, that we would be brave, and God, that we would face these obstacles as we come up against them. Holy Spirit, that you would just continue to bless us, and God, that you would just get us excited about this Advent season, God. That we would come in celebration next week, Lord God, that we would just be absolutely thrilled that it has begun. And Lord, that we would just take the time this week to build up this courage with you, and that we would have a strong relationship with you so we can go out, we can just meet up with other people in our world today, Lord God, and we can explain to them just who you are, Lord God, and just all that you give them. We thank you for this. And in your name I pray. Amen.